Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. Which of the following singers penned a song inspired by a dream they had of Queen Elizabeth II? Was that A, Frank Sinatra, B, Johnny Cash, C, Aretha Franklin, D, Paul McCartney, or E, Freddie Mercury? A Queen's-inspired song. Who was that singer-songwriter anyway? And question number two, it was on this day in 1947 that singers Ernest Tubb and Roy Acuff did what? Did A, performed at Carnegie Hall in NYC? Was it B, recorded a song about meeting Queen Elizabeth II? Was it C, headlined the first broadcast of the TV show Hee-Haw? Or D, portrayed characters in the John Wayne movie The Alamo? So, Ernest Tubb and Roy Acuff did what in 1947? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of September the 16th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1920 that Enrico Caruso recorded his last work for Victor Records. Caruso, 1920, today. And it was 91 years ago today, 1931, that RCA Victor Records began demonstrations of the Long Plane LP, 33 1/3 RPM phonograph record, today, 1931.
As good as I once was, I got a few years only now, but there was a time back in my prime when I could really lay it down. If you need some love tonight, then I might have just enough. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Toby Keith, As Good As I Once Was, introduces our country music news. It's a story by Tom Gelato, published in People on the 19th of September, 2022. These are their picks, the best stuff to watch, read, and listen to this week. And coming up is Monarch. It's a new TV series on Fox. They're music royalty, but the crown is slipping. We are the first damn family of country music, declares Dottie Cantrell Roman, Susan Sarandon, and she's not lying. A beloved singer-songwriter, Dottie has been married forever to another superstar, a man of few words and somber integrity named Albie Roman. Singer Trace Adkins, whose slow, drawling voice has an even deeper timbre than Sam Elliott's. They own a record label run by son Luke, and Dottie's talent seems to have been inherited by daughters Nikki and Gigi. It's worth noting, though, that the name Roman is a variation on Romanoff, In a New York Times interview, series creator Melissa London Hilfers revealed that she conceived the Austin-based Monarch as an American twist on Russia's doomed dynasty. And in fact, the Romans have their problems. Dottie is perilously ill. In a nervy narrative of twists and flash-forwards, we get the impression that the Romans have also had a hand in criminal arson and murder, and Nikki and Gigi are soon feuding over who'll follow Dottie to the highest levels of adulation. They're all heading for that place Kitty Wells called Heartbreak USA. This will be fun. Coming out on September the 11th at 8 p.m. on Fox.
But I'm as good once as I ever was. May not be good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Edward Elgar's Nimrod, a song sure to be heard at Queen Elizabeth's funeral on Monday, September 19th, introduces our classical music news. It's entitled, "The World Often Forgets, Elizabeth Was the Queen of Music." This is published in the Los Angeles Times by Mark Swed on the 10th of September, 2022. I heard the news when I clicked to the BBC Radio 3 website to catch the broadcast of the day's Proms concert in London. I'm the Times classical music and dance critic, Mark Swed, filling in for columnist Carolina A. Miranda, and what I expected to hear was the Philadelphia Orchestra at Royal Albert Hall. Following an announcement of Queen Elizabeth II's death an hour earlier, Yannick Nazet Seguin led the Philadelphia in God Save the Queen and Nimrod from Elgar's Enigma Variations, the song playing in the background now. The silencing of music was anything but characteristic of Elizabeth. 70 years on the throne, 96 years on the planet, the Queen generated far more classical music and engendered the art form more responsibly than any leader of modern times. Her influence began in 1930 when Edward Elgar, appointed master of the King's Music, dedicated a delightful nursery suite to the 4-year-old Princess Elizabeth and her newborn sister, Princess Margaret. At 5, Elizabeth attended her first world premiere when Elgar conducted the concert premiere of the suite, which he already had recorded, making it the first orchestra score to receive its world premiere on a gramophone record. The middle movement of 7 is titled The Sad Doll and is unmistakably music by the composer of Enigma, with Nimrod as the first concert music played in memory of Elizabeth. A circle was completed, not just a circle, but an orb of exceptional size. Elizabeth's Buckingham Palace involved itself with artists and architects, poets and novelists, playwrights and actors, choreographers and dancers. Museums, galleries, and theaters of all sorts received royal patronage. Movie stars, as well as celebrated pop and jazz musicians, mattered to the Queen, and she to them. But classical music played a role in her historic reign unlike any other art. Chris Coco's Mystic Music introduces our jazz and improvised music news. It's entitled, When 15 Musicians Performed Inside an Active Volcano From Dusk Till Dawn. This is written by Sophia Alexandra Hall, ClassicFM.com, August 26, 2022. In 2016, a newly formed collective of Greek musicians gathered inside a volcanic crater to put on an unforgettable all-night performance. The biggest crater you will find on the volcanic Greek island of Nisros is the Stephanos crater. Branching up to almost 1,000 feet in diameter, it is one of the largest active hydrothermal craters in the world and a, quite literal, hotspot for intrepid tourists wanting to walk across an active volcano. Although Nisros's last eruption activity was in 1888, the island is still an active volcano with several hot springs, boiling mud spots, and gas vents. Tourists are advised not to walk across the crater during sweltering summer days due to the high temperatures that can be reached. Due to the varying thickness of the crater's surface, tourists have reported that when standing still for too long on Stephanos, they have found themselves sinking and at the mercy to the boiling water beneath. But in August 2018, a group of 15 musicians dared not only to stand in the crater for 10 and a half hours, but to also perform, creating an improvisational piece amidst the lunar-like landscape. Under the glow of an August full moon, 15 musicians playing the clarinet, electric guitar, piano, synthesizer, oud, a lute-like fretless string instrument, and the kanonaki, a piano-like string instrument, descended onto the famed crater. The musicians were in their 20s and 30s and came from backgrounds including classical, jazz, improvisational, and electronic. The majority of the performers only met each other for the first time at the soundtrack check. Linda Ronstadt's Hurt So Bad introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled Linda Ronstadt, the singing superstar on the stories behind her hits, losing her voice, her new book, and celebrating her South of the Border heritage. This is written by Jim Farber, published in Parade magazine on September the 11th, 2022. Almost a decade ago, Linda Ronstadt was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. In 2019, her condition was re-diagnosed as progressive supranuclear palsy, a degenerative Parkinson's-like disease for which there is no known cure. It robbed her of her distinctive soprano musical voice, ending a career that had made her one of the most popular and accomplished vocalists of her generation. A recipient of 11 Grammy Awards, plus the Recording Academy's Lifetime Achievement Award in 2016, she's also in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the recipient of a Kennedy Center honor. Today, music is always with her and within her. I can still sing in my mind, she tells Berade. Sometimes I have to look up at the words because I forget the lyrics. But then I'll sing a song in my head all the way through, like a hummingbird. At the zenith of her superstardom in the 1970s and into the 80s, Ronstadt was a pre-internet pop culture darling, and not just for her hit songs. Her romances with California Governor Jerry Brown, with filmmaker George Lucas, with comedian Albert Brooks also made headlines. She never married, and she successfully kept her two children, Mary and Carlos, both adopted, to the 1990s, out of the spotlight. Her career path was a wide-ranging odyssey across various musical forms and formats, pop, rock, punk, country, folk, opera, classical, Spanish, and Latin, all grounded in her passion for music. These days, she says, I listen mostly to opera. I love opera more than anything. I can listen to music really passionately now. Another passion, especially in recent years, has been doubling down to make clear to the world who she really is. Born and raised in Tucson, Arizona, she was steeped in music and culture of her father's side of the family, whose roots were deep in Mexico. It frustrates her that throughout her four-decade career, the media has seldom acknowledged her Southwestern heritage, even when she emphasized it by recording albums like Canciones de mi Padre, her 1987 collection of traditional Mexican songs that became the biggest-selling non-English language album in U.S. history. Now, Ronstadt 74 is releasing the book she wrote with journalist Lawrence Downs, Feels Like Home, a song for the Sonoran Borderlands, due out on October the 4th, which illuminates the culture, food, and natural wonders of the Sonoran Desert, which stretches from her Arizona childhood home through a large swath of northern Mexico. A companion album of songs, Ronstadt has admitted, sung or recorded over the years, Feels Like Home, Songs from the Sonoran Borderlands, Linda Ronstadt's musical odyssey, will be released on October 7th. Berade spoke with Ronstadt from her San Francisco home. Mussorgsky's pictures at an exhibition introduce our local music news. It's the 22-23 season of Classical Masterpieces, My Mandy Concert Hall, Raleigh, ncsymphony.org, featuring Pictures at an Exhibition on Friday and Saturday, September 23rd and 24th at 8 p.m. This is their opening weekend for this classical music series. Carlos Miguel Prieto is the music director designate. And then there's Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 on Friday, Saturday, October 21-22 at 8 p.m. with Katharina Wincor, conductor, Clayton Stevenson on piano. Then there's Handel's Messiah, Friday, Saturday, December 2nd and 3rd at 8 p.m. Jerry Lynn Johnson, conductor, North Carolina Master Chorale. And then there's Mozart Requiem, Friday and Saturday, February 24 and 25, 2023, at 8 p.m., with Carlos Miguel Prieto, the music director designate, and the North Carolina Master Chorale. Then there's Holst, the Planets, Friday, Saturday, April 14 and 15th in 2023 at 8 p.m. Thomas Wilkins, conductor, Gerald Clayton on piano, and last but not least, Mahler's Symphony No. 1, Friday, Saturday, May 12th and 13th, 2023 at 8 p.m. Carlos Miguel Prieto, music director designate, and Stella Chen on violin. So go to ncsymphony.org or phone 919-733-2750 for additional concert and ticket information. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1947 that singers Ernest Tubb and Roy Acuff did what? Was it A, performed at Carnegie Hall in NYC? Was it B, recorded a song about meeting Queen Elizabeth II? Was it C, headlined the first broadcast of the TV show Hee Haw? Or D, portrayed characters in the John Wayne movie The Alamo? Correct answer. Answer A, they performed at Carnegie Hall. It was the very first country show to perform at this famous venue in New York City. As noted in a 2021 KXRB.com article by Randy McDaniel titled, Whatever Happened to Country Music Legend Ernest Tubb? There are a precious few names in the history of country music that tower above all others. Hank Williams, Roy Acuff, Lefty Frizzell, and Ernest Tubb. Oh, there are a few others, but the lofty perch that holds the very best of the very best, well, that is, as they say, rare air. And those Ernest Tubb classics? Wow. Walkin' the Floor Over You, Waltz Across Texas, Thanks a Lot, and so many more. Songs that were and are the foundation of country music itself. Born on a cotton farm in Ellis County, Texas, the man that would become known worldwide as the Texas Troubadour was inspired by the early recordings of Jimmy Rogers. It was that 1941 smash Walking the Floor Over You that made Ernest Tubb a star. He joined the Grand Ole Opry in 1943. He was headlining at Carnegie Hall in New York City by 1947. By his own admission, Ernest Tubb did not have the best singing voice in country music, saying once that 95% of the people who listened to him could sing better than he could. But Ernest Tubb had, well, he had that ever-elusive it. Ernest was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1965 and inducted into the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1970. Even in later life, when he had emphysema, Ernest Tubb would perform up to 200 shows per year, taking an oxygen tank with him on the bus. Ernest died of emphysema in 1984 at the age of 70. And the answer to our first question, which of the following singers penned a song inspired by a dream they had of Queen Elizabeth II? Was that A, Frank Sinatra, B, Johnny Cash, C, Aretha Franklin, D, Paul McCartney, or E, Freddie Mercury? Correct answer, answer B, Johnny Cash. As noted in a 9/8/22 article in bestofcountry.com, Queen Elizabeth II died at the age of 96 this Thursday, September 8th, ending her 70-year-long reign as monarch of the United Kingdom and its 14 Commonwealth realms. As the world reflects on the historical events and notable achievements that occurred during her time on the throne, let's take a look at the unexpected connection between country legend Johnny Cash and the late Queen. In 2002, Cash released his celebrated album, American Four, The Man Comes Around, which served as an especially powerful and emotionally charged marker in his career's final chapter. The record's title track, The Man Comes Around, was actually inspired by an especially affecting dream that Cash had. During his slumber, the country star found himself inside London's Buckingham Palace and face to face with Queen Elizabeth II, who relayed a mysterious message. "There she sat on the floor and she looked up at me and said, 'Johnny Cash, you're like a thorn tree in a whirlwind,'" Cash said, recalling the details of his dream to Larry King during a 2002 interview. He awoke just moments later, but the Queen's mysterious message lingered in his mind. "I woke up and thought, what could a dream like this mean? I forgot about it for 2 or 3 years, but it kept haunting me," he explained. "I kept thinking about how vivid it was. I thought maybe it was biblical." Soon after, Cash discovered a reference to thorn trees in the Book of Job, leading him to pen a moody ballad based on the Book of Revelation. And just like that, a lingering dream turned into The Man Comes Around, which Cash also referred to as his Song of the Apocalypse. Just a few months after the song's release, Cash died of complications from diabetes after being admitted to Nashville's Baptist Hospital. He was 71 years old. So let's close out today's program with Johnny Cash's cover of a song that British singer Vera Lynn made famous during World War II, "We'll Meet Again."
"And will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them that I won't be long, and they'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day."
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I